I can blame the kids. See, we can do that, can't we? Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, 4th of July, we saw lots of blow up, so like it. Amen. And a powerful and explosive 4th of July. Amen. Just all the crazy stuff going on in the world, you know, and how many have experienced disappointments in life, right? You know, Jessica was just sharing, you know, financial mistakes. We've all made everybody's made some kind of mistake, financial mistakes. You know, you're like, why in the world did I buy that? You know, how many of you have cars where you just bought it and you're like, oh, you know? Yeah, I bought a few jalopies in my time. And it's just like the two best days were the day I bought it and the day I sold it, yeah. Right? You know, is that what they say about boats, right? You know, the boat people, the day you buy it and the day you sell it. I've had cars like that. So we've all made mistakes and, and we've all dealt with some kind of rejection in life. You know, when you listen to, especially little kids sometimes, it's apparent that, you know, unfortunately, we can be cruel to each other, you know. And you'll see people that they'll have confidence and they'll go through something and their confidence just has dwindled. It's just gone because of a scenario, what somebody said to them. And, you know, sometimes kids will do this because they want to hurt the other person because maybe they don't have the ability or capacity to deal with it at that time. You know, they want to just zing somebody. You know, but we are commanded in the Bible to love people. It is the benefit, not only benefits others, but here's the key, it benefits you. It's a protection. And it definitely, you know, protects our heart. You know, because let's just, if we get too wound up on things, you know, we can definitely drive ourselves crazy just by those things. So let's look at John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. How many of you have had things that troubled your heart in the past, right? Maybe some bills, you know, they talk to you about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Are you going to pay me tomorrow? Are you going to pay me tomorrow? Are you going to pay me tomorrow? Are you going to pay me tomorrow?
Right? There's been a few times where where you're kind of tight, and then the mortgage comes along, and it's like,
I'm due tomorrow. Late fee kicks in tomorrow, right?
All of these things. Well, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, and believe also in me. And this is what Jesus is saying here. You know, and I just... when I was praying today, I was like, really, Lord, you want me to share that? And I just sensed that I was supposed to share it. You know, just talking about how bitterness and not letting your heart, you know, not guarding your heart will do to you. I can, you know, I come from, you know, I had a pretty happy childhood, but a lot of my extended family, there was extreme, dysfunction in all throughout my family. There's just huge, just a lot of dysfunction. My grandparents, my grandmother had been divorced 3 times. My grandfather was on his 3rd relationship. You know, I mean, you know, if you're divorced, that's, you know, we're not judging anybody here. But just this, for my account, my grandmother had, and my grandfather had gotten divorced when my mother was just a teenager. And, you know, yeah, there were some bad things that happened there. There was some abuse and some other things. And my grandfather was a World War II vet. He came back. I think he had PTSD. I think there was things he didn't know what to deal with. And plus, my great-grandfather was pretty violent himself. But... you know, my grandmother had all of these. She's gone, so we can, you know, and learn some things from it. But she had turned to, had very addictive personality, was an alcoholic. My grandfather was an alcoholic. And so, she was so just angry with the whole situation. She even went as far as to try to find a hitman to knock off my grandfather. So, there's some issues going on there. And I'm saying all this for a reason. I felt like I'm supposed to talk about it. But my grandmother's second husband was a recovering alcoholic. And when he wasn't drinking when they got married, but he soon started drinking again and ended up drinking himself to death. But luckily, her third husband, he was just a little Aztec Indian guy, and he was like the nicest guy you could ever meet. I mean, he was literally one of the nicest people that I've ever met, literally. And he was just so laid back, and she would just get angry a lot. But my point in saying all this is, and then what happened was she ended up, she had to have a lung and a half removed. So she only lived off of a half a lung for years and years and years. So she only had a half a lung because she smoked and she drank and she did different things. But because of her pain and bitterness, here's what I'm getting at, okay? And I want to take something from this. I never had a relationship with her, ever. Why? Because these things stood in the way. She did not guard her heart. She became bitter about things. I've seen her a couple of times, just a handful of times in my life. She lived in California. But we never had a relationship. And it was because she was consumed with anger. She was consumed with bitterness. And she didn't guard her heart. And what happened was it just pulled her down this painful road. What happened was, and she's like a lot of people, her pain and bitterness became her God, along with her self-pity. Right? See, I'm placing my problems, I'm placing my bitterness, I'm placing my anger, I'm placing my issues, I'm placing my sin, I'm placing my mistakes, I'm placing all of these things in front of God, because we're going to look at some scriptures here in a minute, right? My relationship with God. It's more important for me to wallow in my self-pity. It's more important for me to be connected to addictions. It's more, important for me to, release my anger and frustration on other people rather than guarding my heart, having healthy relationships, and relying on the Lord. And so, it robbed me of that relationship. It robbed and some other relationships. I lost my other grandmother when I was Emily's age, so I was only about 7 or 8 when my other grandmother passed away. So I've never really had any grandmother per se when I was little. They were all either dead or I was abandoned, pretty much, right? And what was the result? It was because of bitterness and anger. And so, so I've just seen a lot of dysfunction around me throughout my life. I mean, again, I had a great childhood, I had good parents, that wasn't it, but it's just that when you see things around you and people, that their lives are consumed with these things, I knew that when I grew up, I didn't want to be a part of that, right? And I didn't want to put my kids through that kind of stuff, amen? Just because we make mistakes or things happen in our lives doesn't mean we need to repeat those things. And we can learn from people, and we can learn from our mistakes. We can sit back and go, well, I made mistakes, I made this mistake, and I made this mistake, and I made this mistake. Great, move on. Don't condemn yourself, because what happens is when you trip and you fall into this self-pity and you fall into bitterness, you are taking people with you. You are causing other relationships to be hindered because of your mistakes. And that's why the Bible's so clear on these things, right? Where are we really that more important than Jesus? When Jesus said he would forgive us and we don't forgive ourselves, so we're above Jesus. Jesus is like, if you've asked the Lord to forgive you of things and repent and move on, then there's no need to hold those things against you, right? I always like to think, as a minister said one time, the devil is only holding up a Polaroid of something that doesn't exist anymore. when we are walking around with pain and guilt and shame and condemnation, we've already been forgiven of these things. The devil is just holding up something that doesn't exist anymore. And so John 14, 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of stuff going on politically right now. There's a lot of stuff in the church that's going on right now. There's a lot of things in the market. You know, there's the gas prices. I mean, everything. We can get so out of whack, but the Bible specific, it says, don't let these things bother you. Because really, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we see things that, I mean, just things 10 years ago. You know, the things that bothered you 10 years ago, you probably have no idea or don't even remember. You know, Adrian and I were just talking about something last night. Some people that we'd gone to church with or whatever. And I was like, I don't even remember those people. She's like, well, I remember this and I remember this. And see, it's time often, you just don't remember things. But in the moment, it's catastrophic, right? You know? And we have some friends of ours, and they had some counseling one time. And the counselor said, you know, if it's going to matter a year from now, then have it out. But if not, why? I mean, if it's something that's going to be important a year from now, you know, deal with it. But if not, what's the point? And again, John 14, 27, just turn there in the same chapter. And I always like to think of things as an eternal perspective also, right? In this grand scheme of all of eternity, how much is this going to matter, right? If you're going through financial situations right now, I mean, I've had financial situations, I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to even do, we're even going to get through this, right? I mean, when you're like, okay, I know how to add, I know how to subtract, I know how to do the basic stuff, obviously I do financial stuff, but I'm like, it just, that I can't, this turnip will not, I can't get blood out of it, right? And God shows up and he does some things, right? But John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So Jesus is telling us that I got peace. But where does peace come from? It comes from him. He's the source of the peace. Right? I mean, yes, the Bible says man doesn't work, he doesn't eat, we need to do things. The Bible is very focused on, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, the Bible is just, you know, it's all socialism and it's all okay and it's all, no. The Bible's very, 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 very explicit on, especially the three that the Lord gave talents to, right? I mean, one had 10, one had 5, one had 1. The one that had one talent didn't do anything with it. And it says they got extremely angry. It's like, well, you didn't do anything. You didn't work. You didn't produce anything. There was nothing here. So the Bible is very specific on that. But we can get in the other ditch and say we got to do everything ourselves, but we've got to give room for the Lord to be able to work in and through us and to help us out. And so we know that he gives us peace. He will give us his peace. So, you know, if we're not in peace on about things and we're in fear, that's obviously not from him, right? God's not in heaven on his throne on antidepressants right now. I'm telling you, I know it's a shock to some people, but he's not on antidepressants. He's not chewing his fingernails. He's not nervous about anything. He is cool, calm, and collective on the throne. There is nothing bothering him, and then nothing will be bothering him, right? And then he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. And really, fear is just coming back to, it's negative faith, but it's really saying, I don't believe God can pull me out of this. I don't believe God has the ability to really deal with this. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be afraid. I'm not going to be, no. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. That's why I put zero stock in the news. I don't believe anything that comes out of their mouths. I don't watch anything. I mean, you watch some of these things and some of the main, I'm not, you know, some of the main news networks, they're getting to like hundreds of thousands of viewers. That is terrible. I mean, these networks are on the verge of disaster. They are at the point of disaster right now. Because, you know, I was reading some statistics on some of these people, and I mean, on some of these shows, I mean, it's horrible. Nobody's watching this stuff anymore. Very few people are watching this stuff anymore. It was really kind of interesting. I was watching, it was kind of neat. They had the Good News Channel or something like that, and it was going on during COVID, and it was a John Krasinski of The Office. He's a guy on the show The Office, and at my office disbanded, but during that they would send out these little videos, and they're talking about all the good things that are happening, you know, and it was nice because, you know, all these kids were on there talking about things that they were doing, and people were talking about all the good things they were doing during COVID, and it was kind of cute and, you know, really encouraging, and all kinds of people were watching that, you know, and, you know, in the news, the old saying is, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead, right? Well, that's not always true. People still want to hear about good things. I mean, you know, you're on Facebook or something, it's like, oh, that kitty's cute, right? Oh, that puppy's so cute. And, oh, we like happy stories, right? So, you know, we don't have to consume our lives with negativity and all that junk. We come back to, for example, verse 19. We were just doing some of this, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, probably most of you here are better singers than I am. I like to say I make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? Or yodel or scrotal or whatever it is. I don't know. But just make something. But we can have things in our heart around. We don't have to be concerned about junk. We can just focus on the Lord. You know, because there's enough evil in the world. Obviously, there's things we have to know. But on the other hand, you know, we can just focus on Him. Verse 20, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Right? And verse 21 is very important because it's very good. I think it's good to communicate, you know, like we talk Wednesday nights on prayer and here too before and after church. But it's good to have a pulse with other people, you know. One of the dangers, and I think it was very strategic, is during COVID, is it's really great, as far as the enemy is concerned, to isolate people. Because when you get isolated, you become depressed, you don't have a pulse on reality, and the reality is everybody's going through the same thing you are, right? We're out of toilet paper, right? I don't know what the obsession with toilet paper is. I'm still trying to figure that out. Has anybody figured that out yet? I don't understand it, right? You know? I'm sure there's somebody, some creepy guy going, toilet paper, toilet paper, and his garage is full of it. Oh, I don't understand it. What is the obsession with toilet paper? I don't understand it. But whatever, somebody feels great. They've got 900 rolls of packages of toilet paper in their garage, and the rest of us are using corn cobs and whatever else we can scrounge up, Jim and Allie. But again, it's good to come back, reality, ground ourselves in the Lord and say, okay, submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. And it doesn't mean that we're, you know, everybody's telling each other what to do. But what it does mean is you submit yourself to other people and say, okay, I'm here to, you know, want to bounce things off of you. You know, I want to be here with you, you know, we can communicate, and I know some people, they take things extreme and get real weird with stuff. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. But it is good to be around other people, right? Yeah. It was funny because I was, when COVID, COVID hit, and then, I was in the office, and I was kind of at the point where I was going to start working from home and doing some other things, but this got accelerated, obviously. And some of the guys on that I work with, we were talking, and I said, "Man, I'm eating all the time. I'm like at home, you know." And every time I turn around, I got my hand in granola mix or something, you know. And I started getting fluffy, and I lost a lot of it. But anyway, But the other guys on the phone call were like, yeah, I'm like eating all the time. And oh my gosh, I gained 20 pounds in the last 3 weeks. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, so I'm not the only one here that every time I turn around, my hand is in granola mix. I got nuts in my other hand or something like that. Or I'm eating fruit, or I mean, there's always something I'm eating. And it's like, oh, thank you. But so it was great, you know. It's like, or I always like to have that balance. Not that I'm, you know, what are you guys doing? What? But it's nice to know that, you know, because something will go on, or I'll say, hey, what are you guys doing with that? Oh yeah, this isn't working for me either. Okay, great. It's just not me, right? So it's good to submit yourselves one to another to connect with people. That's why the church is so important. You know, especially during the last COVID, is because you got to support the people around you. You know, I need toilet paper. Do you have any toilet paper? Help me. You know, got any hand sanitizer? Or, you know, I don't know. So I wish I had stock in hand sanitizer and toilet paper companies back then, I tell you. Go back to 2019 and take, you know, a chunk of money and invest it in stock. And, you know, the Lord told me to invest in toilet paper, you know. Can you imagine that? 2020, beginning of 2021, the Lord told me to invest in toilet paper. It's like, everybody's like, how do I get out of here fast, right? But anyway, maybe I should have prayed about that, you know, Lord. Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. See, the peace of God, it only comes from God, right? It only comes from God. That's why, you know, all this stuff going on, when you're, the news will not deliver the peace of God. Right? Everything else in this, it will not deliver the peace of God, because it comes from this, the world system. And who's the god of this world? The Bible says it's the devil. Now, he doesn't, he's the god of the world system, let's say that. He's not the god of this world, he's the world of God of the system. We know that there's things going on right now, but it says, to which also you are called one body, and be thankful, right? So we know that when we let God rule our hearts, it brings us peace. You know, we can be concerned about, you know, everything on the news. This is going on, and, you know, human trafficking and gas prices and everything else too. We need to do our part, but we can pray, and we can also do our part, but we got to have peace, right? Because again, I used to other pastors and stuff, and other people I know, they'd have people that were, you know, get upset when people, you know, either left the church or did this or did that, or, you know, people that come with problems, they get, you know, oh, it's just so, wait a minute, these aren't my people. These are the Lord's people, right? This doesn't belong to me. This isn't my problem. The Bible says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. We're not designed to carry problems. You and I weren't designed for that. We weren't wired for that. Nehemiah 8:10 says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Your strength comes from joy. Having peace about things, right? Yes, you're watching things, you hear things. And there's just things in life where this isn't my problem. You know, I'm going to help you with whatever, but at the end of the day, you're going to have to walk through this. I'm here with you. Taking on problems. I had people before where, you know, worrying about their kids and stuff. You know, well, I'm just up all night. I'm worrying about this. I'm worrying about that. I love my kids. I pray for them. You know, we all make our own decisions. And we leave in God's hands, right? I mean, the Bible tells me to train up the way they should go. I don't live my kids' life. You don't live your kids' life for them, right? They have got to choose righteousness for themselves and move forward. My job is just to teach. My job is just to, you know, train them up in the way they should go. And it says, when they grow old, they will what? Shall not depart from the faith. It's going to be embedded in them. It's like people, you know, we used to do, you know, a lot of street evangelism and stuff. And, well, how did you get saved? Well, I didn't save anybody, right? My job in the Bible is just to present the gospel. I'm just presenting the good news. The Holy Spirit is working on their heart. And then both of us together, we're working on things. So my job is just to sow seed and help people and present the good news to them. I don't have the responsibility to get people saved, right? I can't walk up to them and go, yes, I can't make them say anything or do anything, right? And so the pressure's off me because I'm not there to get somebody saved. I'm not there to make something happen. I'm like, I'm presenting this. It's your decision. Okay, if you don't want to receive it, I'm still going to heaven. I'm still going to be doing my thing. And, you know, I tried to help. So we try to figure out, and I think sometimes too, when we ask questions like, why did things happen? You know, how, and I'm sure I'm the only one, but when you ask questions like, how come this has taken so long? You know, we're always expecting God to do things in our time frame, right? You know, we want the microwave prayers answered. You know, it's like I put it in, okay, I set it for popcorn, Lord, now, okay, I'm waiting. Bing, okay, bing. Lord, anytime, bing. I just pushed the popcorn button, Lord, and it's supposed to work like that. Well, God's time frame is not necessarily our time frame. Now, it doesn't mean that if you believe for healing, you can't receive it now, but, you know, for example, I mean, Jesus was here, what, started his ministry three and a half years. How come he didn't do it immediately? How come God didn't send Jesus right after Adam and Eve sinned at that point, redeemed us at that point? Why did he wait, 3,000 years before, 3,000 or 4,000 years to deliver Jesus? Because the Bible says, time had fulfilled. Basically, it was at that point where Jesus said, or God said, that's where I want Jesus to come in at. I don't understand why. I mean, I see a lot of things. I've read a lot of things about it. But God just had his timing at that point where Jesus had to come at that point. Well, it makes sense when you look at everything, you know, at that time. Probably the people were thinking, you know, everybody from Isaiah to Jeremiah to all these other prophets that kept prophesying about Jesus coming. You know, everybody laughed at him. And then Jesus came. See, it didn't come in the Hebrews' time. It didn't come in our time. God delivered Jesus at the right time. Well, at that time, Rome was, controlled everything. But the really interesting thing was there was an infrastructure there. There was a highway system, you know? I mean, think about it. The Apostle Paul, within just a few years, and the apostles had evangelized a lot of Asia and a lot of Europe and North Africa just within that short time period. And so there was an infrastructure set up. God knows what he's doing. I mean, if I was in charge, it'd be like, okay, Adam and Eve sin, all right, next kid's going to be Jesus. And that's what the devil thought. Because that's why Cain killed Abel, because the enemy thought that prophecy from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he was going to send his seed to crush his head and destroy him. He thought that he was going to be next. And then he thought he was Moses, because again, and he kept going on. But again, God's timing is not our timing. But you know what we do in that time? Sit back, relax, have some iced tea, and just chill out, right? Just like, I'm gonna relax. I'm going to enjoy the Lord here. You know? Go buy a new pair of shoes or get a glass of iced tea or something, right? We're not going to worry about it. So we don't need to really have anxiety about anything. So the other thing is, why is this happening? You ever heard that before too? Well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? We were just talking last night, or I think it was today or whatever, we were talking about, one of the things we were listening to, and, you know, just about all the stuff, all this junk that's going on in the world and everything. And she's like, I got all these questions for the Lord when I get to heaven. You know what? When I get to heaven, I won't care. I'll just tell you right now, I just don't care anymore. I want to be hanging around with Jesus, and I'll be at the throne, and I'll be talking to Paul, and I don't care about any of this junk anymore, right? When I get to heaven. Like, why did this happen? How come this happened? How come this happened? I'm going to be hanging out with cool people. It's going to be great. I won't care, right? Will you? You know? Right? Lord, I believed you for a house payment, and it came 2 days later. How come that happened, right? Nobody cares. I don't care. I'll tell you right now, I don't care. No, I care about your house payment. Yes, we care about that. It's not yet. But I'm just saying, I won't care at that point. It doesn't matter, right? Well, so-and-so didn't get healed. I want to ask the Lord, blah, 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 blah. If they're in heaven or with me, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care. So again, we can wind ourselves up into asking the why question. I always tell people, it's very dangerous to ask why. It can be a very dangerous question, because if you get down that rabbit hole, it'll eat your lunch, because your mind will go 1,000 different directions. Why? God doesn't love me. He doesn't care. La, la, la. You can come up with all kinds of crazy answers, and it won't fix anything. It doesn't matter. You're wasting energy. It's like a hamster in a wheel, right? A washing machine. Yeah. Well, it works really hard. No. We got to keep grounded here. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. We're just about finished up here. I'm going to go ahead and read it. You can write it down and read it. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." You know, what I do a lot anymore, before we really make decisions or something, I'll say, "Lord, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts?" And most of the time he's like, "You're right on. Go ahead and do it." But he'll speak to me and say, "Thank you for checking in with me." Like, the Lord wants us to be involved in our decision making. He wants to be honored, because He knows more than me. I know that's hard to believe. I know. But God does know a lot more than me. A lot more than me. Like, everything. And I like to check in with Him. "Lord, what do you think about this?" I'm praying about something. Like, "What do you think about this?" And listen to the inside. Listen to the inside, you know. And again, you know, we can trust in Him even when it doesn't make sense to us. It's that having the joy of the Lord. You know. And what are some things that, you know, we talked about some of the questions, but what are some things that can creep into our lives as we close here? You know, we can allow, if we don't have the joy of the Lord, if we don't rely on Him, if we don't, some things that can creep up: anger, right? Frustration, anxiety, you know, jealousy. Somebody gets something you don't, or something's working for somebody and you don't keep your mind under control, right? You know, when we were at Rhema, it was interesting because, I mean, the Lord blessed us. The Lord gave us a car there and did other things, but, you know, sometimes we're like, "Okay, we need this," and somebody get up. "I just want to thank God because I got a brand new car and it was full of gas and I got $50 billion in cash given to me and it was completely awesome and I had a brand new house given to me and then after that, I had brand new dogs and it was just great and it was awesome and then I found the love of my life and I got married in Hawaii, and it was amazing, and it was great." And you're like, "God, I don't even know you anymore," right? When you listen to those testimonies, right? "God, do you even know who I am? Did you forget my address? You know, did the check get lost in the mail?" But you think about those things, and you get mad, and you get jealous, and you get upset. And again, it's carnality, isn't it? Right? Because somebody is blessed, and you didn't, or whatever, you know? And you're like, "I'm eating beanie weenies, and like, you know, ramen noodles here, and these people are eating steak and all kinds of other great things, and they're, you know, got a brand new car, and everything's just awful, you know, just wonderful for them." But it's carnality, isn't it? It just gets carnality. And so if we don't have the joy of the Lord in every situation, and that's why the Bible says count it all joy. That's very difficult to do sometimes. You count it all joy, you know, when your gas tank's empty and you're broke and, you know, withdrawing from people. Right? Sometimes you can get upset and angry with people and you get offended with people. You stop trusting people. Hello? Fear. You get offensive. You want to just quit. That's a very demonic attitude on things. Cynical. Right? Or you can generalize, "Well, all those people are like this, and all those people are like that, and all these people are like this," right? Seeing online, you know, nobody can have an opinion. So if it doesn't line up with this, then we're going to censor you. Or if you have something outside of what's normal or what we think. You know, that's not healthy, right? So there are people who are always filled with strife. Filled. You ever been around those people before where everything's just a hot mess? You know, they're just a hot mess all the time and everything's just a big crisis, one thing after another. And yeah. And you know what? Let's just say that some people just don't want to get along with you. Right? I just found it in some people don't, you know. You'll love them, move on. You can't have relationships with everybody. You can be the nicest, sweetest, the most wonderful person on the earth, but I've learned that not everybody wants to be your friend. Not everybody is on your side, okay? It doesn't mean necessarily everybody hates you, but what it does mean, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be on. But you know what? You don't have to waste energy on that, do you? You don't have to waste energy with those people. You love people and you move on. I'm not going to have a nervous breakdown because somebody doesn't like me or somebody doesn't approve of me, right? I was, we'll tell the rated G stories in here, but about the church and stuff, but Adrian and I were just laughing about this lady that came to church years ago, and we were praying for her. She didn't want me, she wanted Adrian, so she prayed, and we were just talking about, was it today? I think it was today, anyway. But we got in praying and for healing and you know, she's standing, and then right when she got done, she goes, are you guys going to move or get different chairs? Cause these chairs hurt my rear. I'm like, cause it hurts my butt. I'm like, okay. All right. Well, thanks for coming. Have a great. Yeah. She said it to Adrian. I'm like, okay. Right. You know? And just the crazy weird stuff people tell you, and you know, over the years, you're just like, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. Right? So not everybody's going to be on your bandwagon, right? Not everybody's going to be in your bandwidth. So, you know, don't let that bother you. And it doesn't mean you're necessarily a bad person or you know, that you're a really, you know, sometimes, you know, people need to change some things. But the point is that, you know, especially if you're living for God or anything like that, and you get people that just aren't, you know, rah, rah, rah for everything you say and do, just love them anyway and move on, you know? And not everybody's going to be, you know, on your man wagon. So you can focus on the Lord, focus on the Lord and His love. And, you know, some people can focus on the negative, but we just want to focus on His goodness. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. So there are, what's the term, Adrian? Type of people? What's the type of people? Is it, there are just some people that are unhealthy. I don't remember what the term is. Toxic people. Okay. Yeah, toxic people.
I'm
they're just
supposed to know that? I'm kidding.
No. Yeah, why did I ask you? My goodness, why would I ask you a question, right? I assume you know a few things, so you're supposed to back me up once in a while. Okay? Make me look good. Just fake it till you make it, okay? Matthew 22:37-39. Jesus said unto them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now, this is the first thing that He tells us to do. Focus on Him. Love Him, right? Because it's key. Because the love and the passion we're going to get is going to be coming from Him. You can't get it from anybody else, right? You can't give something you don't have. That's why, you know, people say, well, I just love Jesus and everything. And that's great. But see, the love comes from Him. We don't have the capacity. We just don't have it. That's why we're a new creature. When we're born again, when we accept Him as Lord and Savior. The fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 are love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, patience. You know, Mr. Gary just talked about, or I'm sorry, Bobby, just talked about some of those things earlier, right? And I don't see we have any self-control with the cookie, so those are like disappeared quicker than a Weight Watchers convention. So... Amen. So they are vanished. Now you see it, now you don't. The magic man. Say, we love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, again, I just want to pray before we go here. I want to pray over all of you tonight. Father, I just pray for the people that they would experience the love of God tonight. Lord Jesus, that our acceptance, our confidence, our self-esteem, it doesn't come from people, but it comes from you, Lord. We love people, regardless of what they've done or what they've said. We are not relying on them for approval, but we get our approval and we get our acceptance from you, Lord. The unconditional, the spirit, the love that runs deeper than any river, any ocean, Lord. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. There's just one scripture here that pops in, and it's a good time to read it. Lord, we thank you, and that we would know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto you, Lord, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. In verse 18, it says, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the depth and the length and the height of the love of Christ, Lord. We thank you that that's embedded into us tonight, Lord. Jesus, we glorify you. We thank you in your name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Wednesday night, we got prayer night, and it was really good on Wednesday night, and it's a good time to just pray things out, connect with the Holy Spirit, hear his voice, and just wait on him. So, amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.